Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Often when it comes to putting a sermon together, you can end up with some problems, some issues. There are some passages you look at, and I've been there many a time, where I can look at the passage and say, what am I supposed to say about this? So some passages are actually quite difficult, yes? You may not think so, but there are passages in Scripture that are difficult to preach on. And you may wonder why that was even included in our lectionary. But it is the Word of God, isn't it? Other passages, and I include today's gospel reading, the Beatitudes, can be overwhelming to preach. You can feel a bit like this guy. How do I, in 20 minutes, talk about the Beatitudes, talk about how Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount, and do justice to it? Yes, we can say, and I mean the kids could talk, I think the video did it quite well. He was on a mountain, he taught, basically, love one another. But there's so much more there though, isn't there? And once you start, how do you stop? Now, I have, you know, we do have an agreement that I will keep the number of three-hour sermons to a minimum. So we don't, I thought rather than covering all of them or trying to do a very brief summary, we would take one of these Beatitudes and have a closer look at it. We would look at, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. In each of these Beatitudes, Jesus is declaring who are the stars, who are the heroes of God's kingdom. And notice, it's not the warriors. It's not the strong, the powerful, the ones who have built the most churches, the ones who have done great and mighty deeds. It is, as we saw in the talk, it's those who mourn. It's those who are poor in spirit. It is those who the rest of the world often overlook. So how does peacemakers fall in this? Well, you've got to remember Jesus was preaching in the time of Rome. The sort of Messiah that Israel wanted was the Messiah who was going to come and kick Rome out, who was going to fix Israel, get rid of the corruption in the temple. He was one who, by the power of his sword, would set all things right. In Roman and Greek culture, peacemaking was not seen necessarily as a great thing. Who was hailed? The conqueror. We are called to be peacemakers. How does this work? What's involved in being a peacemaker? If we want to be a child of God's kingdom, because notice it says there, peacemakers will be called children of God. As followers of Jesus, we have been adopted by the Father. We want to be good kids. Part of that is being peacemakers. What does that mean? Does it mean we never get in fights? Doesn't mean we always give in. We can often come up with weird ways of understanding what peacemaker means. And so we're going to do a bit of a delving into Scripture about being a peacemaker. Those of us who are parents, or those who may have refereed a kid's sport, or are a teacher, sometimes it can feel like peacemakers making is all about being a referee. Sometimes the peace you want is just to have your kids not fight with each other. You know, just peace as in there is no sound. Then when there's no sound, you start to get worried about what they're really up to. But when Jesus is talking about us being peacemakers, he is not talking about us being good referees. He's not talking about us judging who's right and who's wrong. But sometimes we can put ourselves in that role. Jesus is talking about more. We need to start with the understanding that for us, peace is something we have received. It's not something we generate. It's something we have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot make peace unless we have first received peace. And Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have received peace with God, not by what we have done. We have not earned it. We have not achieved it. We have not obtained it. It is given to us through all that our Lord Jesus has done through his life, death, and resurrection. When we talk about peace with God, sometimes we think of the concept of peace as just being the opposite of war. And yes, in our sin, and Paul has said this earlier in Romans, we are at war with God because we've turned our backs to God. We're going our own way rather than God's way. There is hostility, but God is not just talking about us no longer being at war with God. He's talking about us being in a good relationship with God. The biblical concept of peace is not the absence of war, but the restoration of relationship, the making of it so that if we are at peace, if you and I are at peace, we're happy to sit down and have a meal together. We'll go grab a cup of coffee and talk about our lives. This is what God wants with us. Remember this, we are the ones who have turned on God, yet he is the one who wants to make peace with us. He wants us in a loving relationship with him. And how is this achieved? Through Christ Jesus. Once we start realizing all we have received through Christ, including this peace with God, then we can start to move on to the next step. Peace proclaimed. We are told, and we saw that at the end of the kids' video, to go and tell people, to go and do what was said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciliation, the coming together, the working out of your differences, the finding out how we can move forward together is what God is calling us to proclaim. We are not proclaimers of peace. We are not peacemakers just because we woke up this morning and thought, hey, wouldn't this be a good idea to do? We're doing it, as Paul says here, because we are Jesus' ambassadors. We are commissioned by him to go unto all nations, teaching, baptizing, doing all that stuff. And as it says, it is though God is making his appeal through us. That's pretty heavy stuff. But we are not proclaiming our message of peace. We're proclaiming his message. Our God wants to receive everybody. Everybody here, everybody out there, into his kingdom. He wants everybody to repent and set their focus on Jesus. He wants everyone to come to the foot of the cross, hand over their sin and receive his righteousness. He wants them in his family. He's not going to force people into his family, though. We proclaim this peace. Therefore, as we acknowledge what we've received and we go and proclaim, we also must live this peace. Jesus is pretty big on we don't say one thing and do another. It's no good saying, love your enemies, and then as you go into town, you abuse the lady serving you, treat people like dirt. You can't say one thing and do another. Jesus wasn't like that, was it? Therefore, peace needs to be lived. And we have this example given in Romans 12:18. Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This sort of reminds me a bit of a meme that you may have seen on Facebook or elsewhere, where you've got the painting of Jesus on the mountain doing the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, the captions go, Jesus is saying, love everybody. And someone in the background says, does that include Bill? Yes, Frank, you've got to love Bill as well. Paul says, live at peace with everyone you go to church with. No. Live at peace with your family. No, yes to those, it includes those. But he says, everyone, even those you have a lot of difficulty being around, you are to live at peace. Notice, however, I actually find this verse quite comforting. He realizes that in our fallen world, this may not be possible. Notice it starts, if it is possible. Then he puts the onus on us, doesn't he? As far as it depends on you. Now, you may say, oh, look, I tried to be at peace with Fred, but he doesn't give me a chance. Yet, you may be doing things to upset Fred. You may have never said a kind word to him. You may not have done anything. And in fact, if we can be honest, I know at times that there is problems that I have with someone, and you know whose fault it is? Mine. So Paul is saying, what is in your power to do? Use that to create peace. Does that make sense? He doesn't just leave it there. He continues, and let's just read the next three verses. This is from Romans 12:19-21. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. If in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He's not saying justice doesn't matter. But who's in charge of justice? Who's in charge of putting things right? God. what he's asking you to do is to love your enemies. That's hard stuff. But this is part of this peacemaking. Don't be so overcome with evil. Often someone does something bad to us, and our first instinct is to do something bad back. Someone says something in a message or in a post or via email or verbally to you, and you respond back. It's part of our ways to give as good as we receive. And Paul is challenging us here. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is challenging us. That is not the way of the followers of Jesus. He is not saying that it doesn't matter what other people do, is he? Because he's pointing out here, God's judgment will come. Have a look here. This is from James. James chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So how can we be peacemakers in practical ways? We've been talking about verses here. One thing that comes to my mind is, and to share a personal situation. Several years ago, when I was back up in Kalgoorlie, I was a chaplain at the School of Mines up there. Curtin University has a campus up in Kalgoorlie, lots of international students, and I was involved in their faith group, and I had a weekly Bible study that I did up there, which international students came along to, etc. But at one of our faith meetings, I was introduced to the new young man who would be looking after the Muslim students. He was a postgraduate, doing postgraduate work there. And after he was introduced to us, the meeting was finished, I went to him and said, how'd you like to go for a cup of coffee, just to get to know each other? He seemed a bit reluctant, but said, yeah, sure. And we went and we had coffee. I thought we had a pretty good chat together. We talked about postgraduate studies, because I've done postgraduate studies. I'd even been a lecturer at Curtin University. He was doing engineering work. I have a son who'd done engineering studies there. We talked about the ups and downs of academic life and all these sort of things. We had a pretty good time, talked for about an hour, and then, you know, said goodbye and went on to things. Now, we don't always get to hear how the Lord has used the situation we are in, do we? I mean, Peter, I know you have this wonderful gift of sitting down and talking with people. Praise the Lord for that. But you don't always get to hear what effect that may have had. The Lord was really good to me. This young man was also, because he was Indonesian, part of the Indonesian students get together. And the Indonesian group who get together included a couple of Christian ladies who come regularly to my Bible study. And so at the next Bible study, they said, did you have a meeting with, I can't remember the guy's name after all these years, but, and I said, yes. He couldn't stop talking about it. He thought that coming there, it would be a contest between who was right, Islam or Christianity. But we just had a good time getting to know each other. I would say to you, that is being a peacemaker. That is laying the ground to have opportunity to talk more in the future. I never did have an opportunity to talk more in the future with him, but maybe someone else will, because he's had a good encounter with a Christian. Not someone saying, Muslim, go home, or whatever else, but someone who says, let's have a cup of coffee and get to know each other. The Church of Christ pastor in Kalgoorlie, who was there for many years, was asked when we were doing, we had Billy Graham's grandson come to visit, to hold an event in Kalgoorlie. And some of the out-of-town people came, and they were quite amazed at how well the churches worked together. And they asked him, he was our chairman of the network, they asked him, what is the secret of getting churches to work together? Because I'm quite amazed, it wasn't just Pentecostal churches working together, it was all of us across the spectrum. And his answer was, we have coffee together. You sit and you talk with people. You make that opportunity. You reach out to make relationships. You find out, how can I help? What can I do? That is this being a peacemaker. It can be just those little things. You may, of course, get an opportunity to have some decent discussions about Jesus and who he is. You may not. This may be a step along the way. But that fits in with what Paul was saying. As far as it is in your power, make peace with one another. Because we have peace with God through Christ, we are free to point others to that same peace. We're not giving peace, we're pointing to peace. It doesn't matter that our actions are little ones. They all join together to point to Jesus. We are not to be judges, referees, or fixers. We're not called here to fix the problems of aspirants. We're called here to be witnesses to Jesus here in Esperance. We're called to love one another. As you go out into this week, I encourage you to be peacemakers, not in your own strength, but through Christ within you. Not with peace you generate, but from the peace that you have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.